Hello and welcome to the BJS podcast. I'm Wendy Barnaby and today I'll be talking to Mr. Des Winter, consultant surgeon at St. Vincent's University Hospital in Dublin, and to BJS editor Mr. John Bynan. Des has co-authored a BJS article called Laparoscopic Peritoneal Lavage for Generalized Peritonitis Due to Perforated Diverticulitis. It's the report of a study of a new approach to managing peritonitis due to diverticulitis, and the forecast is it'll change the way the condition is treated. So, Des, the patients in the study had peritonitis due to perforated diverticulitis. So, what exactly does that involve?
These patients had generalized peritonitis due to a perforation of a diverticulum, typically in the sigmoid colon. As a result, they had generalized peritonitis with evidence of both clinical peritonitis and also free air, either on chest x-ray or on CT scanning.
Now, how would they be treated at the moment?
Well, the traditional approach over the last 50 years or so has been to do an open operation in which the sigmoid colon was removed and the proximal end brought up as an end colostomy with the distal end either sewn or staple shut. And this was termed a Hartmann's procedure after the surgeon who first described it, who was Henri Hartmann. There are some obvious disadvantages to this for the patient. First of all, they have an open operation, which is it has stood us well over the last number of years, but we are now evolving minimally invasive techniques, which by and large are less uncomfortable, less painful in the short term, with some other short-term advantages too. The long-term advantages were only just beginning to work out. Perhaps more importantly, though, are the negative impact issues that arise as a result of having a colostomy or having a stoma. We certainly know that this negatively impacts on patients' quality of life, and the greatest difficulty with this is that to reverse it requires a major operation again. As a result, we estimate that somewhere between 30 and 50% of these patients never go on to have their colostomy reversed. And the negative impact on the patient, the patient's carers, and indeed society in terms of cost is fairly significant.
Your paper, though, examined a different sort of treatment, really washing out the abdominal cavity with a warm saline solution.
That's right. What we aimed to do was to validate, using a reasonable-sized patient population in more than one institution, a procedure that had been originally described by O'Sullivan in 1996. This procedure involved a laparoscopic or keyhole approach. A number of small ports are inserted and the entire peritoneal cavity is washed out or lavaged using warmed saline. As a result of doing this, and obviously using intravenous antibiotics and the other aspects to what we would consider standard of care for perforated diverticulitis, these patients avoided a stoma and indeed avoided any resectional surgery. I should add that there were a particular group of these patients in whom we had to convert to an open operation, and that is on performing a laparoscopy when you first examine the peritoneal cavity, if there is evidence of a frank perforation with fecal peritonitis, it is not terribly appropriate to do this procedure. The reason for that being that there is an ongoing fecal contamination via that hole, and as a result, you're better off proceeding with an open resection as standard. So in this patient population of 100 patients, we had to convert to that style of operating in 8 patients. It had to be converted to an open Hartmann's procedure.
But it still meant that 92 of your patients had the lavage treatment.
That's right. And it proved to be something far more successful than we thought it was even going to be. The mortality and morbidity rates are vastly superior to those in which we see with an open Hartmann's procedure, even in the modern era of antibiotics and excellence of care. Indeed, the morbidity was somewhere in the region of 4.3%, so less than 5%, and the mortality was 3.3%, or certainly less than 4%. Those numbers are typically 3 to 4 to 5 times in the open operation, and the advantages, therefore, were quite apparent to us almost immediately. One of the other advantages to it that may not be immediately obvious to you is that there are almost no wound complications.
does it strike me that there's another quite fundamental difference between this way of managing diverticulitis and the traditional one, which is that you're not actually removing it. So does diverticulitis recur in these patients?
Absolutely. Good question. Even with open surgery, we know that patients can go on to develop diverticulitis even later in life. This is somewhere we think in the region of 5 to 10% following a proper sigmoid resection. Having said that, in this study, what we found was that following the laparoscopic lavage, all of the patients were followed. Now, they have a median follow-up of 36 months, which I think is a reasonable amount of time. The range was between 12 and 84 months. In that period, only two patients required reintervention for diverticulitis. Those patients were managed conservatively with intravenous antibiotics, and no patient required a resection.
Well, they are very definite advantages, aren't they? I mean, what about disadvantages? Are there any really that you can think of with this way of managing the condition?
I think it does require, and this is a relative disadvantage, it does require the presence of a senior person who is experienced with laparoscopic techniques. This is not something to be applied by somebody who is not familiar with emergency laparoscopic work.
So it sounds as though you would need a fairly senior team to introduce this widely, say, in practice.
I think so. I think it's not something that everyone is going to be able to do tomorrow. I think it's something which will evolve gradually as we all become better laparoscopic surgeons. I have no doubt that that is the future and that that is the way we are going. And I think that this is really appropriate in surgeons who are familiar with laparoendoscopic techniques and are comfortable with performing them even in the emergency setting. This is the first time that anyone has shown with any decent number of patients, over 10 or 12 patients, that the procedure works, that the procedure is safe, and that the procedure has a future. I'm hoping as a result that the rest of the world will take notice of this and that we can get moving with a randomized trial.
Des, thank you very much indeed. Now let's turn to BJS editor John Bynan. John, I know you think that this paper is an important one. Why is that?
Well, I think this challenges current treatment of perforated diverticular disease. If you look overall in the country, the commonest operation that's done for diverticular disease in this situation is a Hartmann's procedure. This paper actually challenges that by saying that this is not necessary and people can be treated in a far less aggressive way with a good surgical outcome.
And why do you recommend the study yourself? I mean, I think you've pointed to the fact that it's a very well-designed one.
Well, I think it has well-defined parameters, and good studies usually ask simple questions. And this has got a simple, straightforward question. It's a well-defined group of patients. They know exactly what the endpoints in the study were going to be. They have analyzed them appropriately, and they've come out with results which show that you can avoid stomas in patients with perforated diverticular disease by treating them less aggressively and with, you know, minimal morbidity and mortality.
Do you think it really will change practice?
Well, I think it's going to certainly make a lot of people think about the way that they treat perforated diverticular disease at the moment. And around the country, there are a lot of people who get laparotomies for this type of problem who end up with stomas, which unfortunately end up being permanent stomas because of the nature and age of the patients we tend to treat. Whereas this approach shows that there's a high chance that stoma can be avoided and with similar periods of time in hospital, and as I said, low morbidity associated with the procedure. The risk of complications after this, I think, are far less than after a formal resection of the bowel with the formation of a stoma.
John, thank you very much indeed. Well, there we have it. Thank you for listening to the BJS podcast. Please visit the journal site at www.bjs.co.uk to access the full text of this article and to find what else the journal can offer you. We hope you'll join us again.